REI Co-op has everything for camping, glamping, scampering, and whatever they're doing.
Cannonball!
Relaxing, axing, waxing.
I'm sorry, what?
REI waxes your skis, man.
Oh, yeah, I got it. Okay.
Biking, hiking, and whatever outdoor thing rhymes with hiking. You get it. REI Co-op is the place for gear, clothing, classes, and advice. For the million and one ways to opt outside.
This episode is brought to you by Buffalo Trace Distillery. Powerful yet smooth. Contained but never tame. Proudly going their own way, but never going alone. This is the spirit inside Buffalo Trace Bourbon. Made at Buffalo Trace Distillery, the world's most award-winning distillery. Buffalo Trace is always perfectly untamed. Distilled, aged, and bottled by Buffalo Trace Distillery, Franklin County, Kentucky. 90 proof, 45% alcohol by volume. Learn more at buffalotracedistillery.com. Please drink responsibly.
Libre, Eau de Parfum Intense by Yves Saint Laurent. The sultry vanilla signature. The fragrance for those who do what they want and dare to be exactly who they are. Libre is crafted with signature notes of lavender essence from France and Moroccan orange blossom, combined with glowing warm vanilla from Madagascar that pushes it to the extreme, creating a long-lasting vanilla twist on the floral fragrance. Gift freedom. Gift Libre.
Hello and welcome back to Kiddish Street Noise. This is episode 5 that we recorded just after our tricky result of the weekend against Sheffield United. Bit of a poor week for Rovers, 6 goals conceded, 2 defeats and no goals scored. I'm joined by our brother Lewis Ayn as always. What's your opinion on this week been?
Yeah, it's been tough on it, but at the same time I think you've got to weigh it up and say, like, in the first episode we said how many points we were looking at from the first 5 games. I think I said realistically most people would take 8, you know, considering everything, but the way we've gone about it and winning the first 3 and then being battered twice as well, you know, let's face it, it's disappointing. There's no getting away from that.
Yeah, I think like the first 3 wins got everyone optimistic, and like I said, that we should get ahead of ourselves because you need to enjoy it, but I think we were just a bit too ahead of ourselves. We weren't prepared for like the manner of the defeats we've had. It wasn't like a 2-1 type defeat. We were like away from home.
Even with some like 3-0s, I was saying to my dad earlier, you know, you can get them kind of games where, you know, they take their chances and you don't take yours, but it weren't like that at all.
We
didn't have a shot on target, did we? It was so one-sided, it was unbelievable, really. So frustrating, I thought.
And it started to like become a bit of worry, like, I know a lot of people don't like the new stats, like expected goals and expected assists and stuff like that, but they do tell like a better story of the game than shots and shots on target, and our expected goal is quite low. I think that's where we were talking about, like, in the West Brom game and the QPR game, it's moments of individual brilliance. We're not creating clear-cut chances where there should definitely be a goal. It's worldies that we're scoring. Eventually, it will catch up with you because you can't score them goals every week. They're like very few and far between. I know Travis had one that just went wide on Saturday.
That was the closest game, you know, the whole 90 minutes, weren't it?
But I think Sheffield's expected goals were up to like 4 or 5 because, I mean, Ollie McBurnie missed a hatful of chances, didn't he? It could have been a really, really embarrassing scoreline on another day. But yeah, we'll start with Wednesday's game against Reading. And again, another poor performance. And I think it's difficult to say how bad we were, because on Sunday against West Brom it was hot, it was tiring, it was a battle.
We looked weary, didn't we, against Reading, sorry. We looked like a tired team.
And we're
comfortably second best and reserved to get beat 3-0. It was, you know,
And that's where the squad depth needs to help us. That's why we need the transfers so importantly to get that squad depth. I mean, Travis, the captain, Buckley's been playing well, but you could just tell after 60 minutes that they were dead on their feet. And I think I think it was 1-0 at the time when we had the penalty appeal where Ashley Phillips was bundled over. And I think even if we'd have got the penalty and scored that, we were still looking tired. And we needed four or five subs to change the game, really. And even the lads that you're bringing on, they're still not fully fit. And some of them played, got minutes on Sunday, which made it even difficult for them. They're not coming on like fresh faces. They're coming on still feeling the effects of Sunday. So
yeah,
it's a difficult one, really.
I mean, the penalty appeal could have changed the game had it been given. I at the time, a lot of Rovers fans saying like it was Stonewall. At the time I appealed for it, I thought that's a definite penalty.
Yeah.
But watching it back, I don't think it should have been given.
I think it's like clumsy for it was Shane Long that bundled him over, weren't it? And like, experienced pro like that, it's just. I think Phillips was stopped, like, anticipating the contact in the back, and he's like bundled him over. And I think if that happens on the halfway line, the ref gives a free kick 9 times out of 10. It's just frustrating that referees.
You do see a lot of fouls like that, don't you?
Yeah, like, especially like, you know, like if a defender's running back towards his own goal under pressure, any push in the back is like a penalty. But in the box, not a penalty, a free kick, and they're running back towards their own corner flag or whatever. Grant Hanley used to be the master of it and still is. Just every time under pressure, just like stops, gets handed back and wins a free kick. But again, like the referees are just a bit more hesitant to give them when they're in the box. But at the end of the day, foul's a foul. But again, we didn't deserve anything from the game. The second goal, you could point fingers at Kaminski, but again, he's been probably our best player.
Yeah,
consistently. So
I think it'd be really harsh to point fingers at Kaminski because. You know, he's already won his points this season, hasn't he?
Yeah.
And it's not. He couldn't have done. We've already said today, haven't we? He couldn't have done anything about those three goals we conceded on Saturday. So yeah, it's ridiculous really to blame Kaminski, I think.
Yeah, but yeah, we saw the fan reaction on Twitter and Facebook to the 3-0 loss to Reading. And I know people were optimistic going into that game. Reading had just been beat off Rotherham quite heavily and we were on a good run. People expected us to win. Obviously upset that we've been beat so heavily. And people are right to be upset and be disappointed. It wouldn't be football, you weren't disappointed when you get beat.
It's only natural, isn't it?
Yeah. But what annoys me is people that say we have fickle fans, right? Football is a game of opinions and opinions are like arseholes, everyone's got one. And like, if everyone had the same opinion, it'd be so boring. You'd go to the pub after the game, you wouldn't say a word, you'd just be like, yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
It's boring. Some people have wildly off-topic opinions, and that's fine. You could like argue with them all night. Some people are more conservative and like just have like a sensible approach, and that's fine as well. The problem I have is you just telling everyone that we've got fickle fans. Like, how many Bournemouth fans do you follow on Twitter? How many Crew Alexander fans do you have as Facebook friends? Like, you don't see any of that. So every opinion you see is a Blackburn Rovers opinion.
They don't understand that every fan base is pretty much the same. I suppose the disappointing thing is not, because it's not people being fickle. I think most of the time, 9 times out of 10, it's people letting the anger and the frustration of the moment just like completely override any sort of thought and judgment.
Logic, yeah.
That's the problem, I think.
I mean, I used to be bad for it, like spouting absolute waffle on Facebook and stuff and winding a few people up. But
I think like, as you do get older, though, you kind of look at it from a more. You tend to see the bigger picture. Like, it's a 46 game season, you've got 9 points in the first 5 games.
Which a lot of people would have been happy with at the start of the season. I think that's like, obviously the lack of transfer activity and stuff, people do need to be more realistic. Yeah, it was a good start, but it was going to come down to squad depth and we were going to get found out eventually. That's just football. People react to different things happening and stuff. But yeah, really disappointing night on Wednesday. And then it seemed like we'd gone from everyone expecting us to win on Wednesday. And then we got to like the pub on Saturday, and everyone was like, "Oh, we're getting battered today. We're getting battered. We're top of the league."
Yeah,
everyone
was on a bit of a down. But then again, it is that kind of like the most recent. You know, people failed to see the bigger picture. Like I say, in the most recent kind of event or the most recent game,
determines people's mood.
Determines your whole mood going into the next game. So I was pretty, I was still pretty optimistic going. I wasn't thinking, you know, oh, we're definitely going to win today. But, you know, I was like, if you come away with a point,
yeah,
you know, we'll take that and, you know, build on it with a couple of signs this week, hopefully, and move on. You know, got Bradford in the cup as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but weren't to be, unfortunately. But
yeah, but yeah, it was a good day. We're down.
Very eventful.
Very eventful. Yeah, still feeling the effects this morning. Stopped off in Chapel Town on the way. We went on the bus with Craven Effer, didn't we? Stopped off in Chapel Town on the way. It was roasting there as well.
Yeah.
Somewhere out. Like, obviously, we set off in the morning. It was raining. Had jackets on and stuff. And we got there. It was absolutely stifling.
It's like being on, absolutely sweating. Like, I'm going inside.
Going inside. We've got aircon in there.
Yeah.
And then after that, got the bus to the ground. That's the first time I've been to Bramall Lane. I've never been before.
New ground for me as well. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's two new ground because I'm going to Bradford tomorrow night. So. Two new grounds for me in space for a few days.
Yeah. And the atmosphere was good. Atmosphere in the concourse was good, but just I don't know. I think we saw the ball for like the first 20 minutes. We didn't get like a good 5 minutes of possession. And he started with like the five at the back, didn't he? With Pickering at centre half, Eden on the left,
yeah,
and just left Travis and Buckley again in the middle. And I think with Sheffield United three in the midfield, they're so good on the ball and so good. Like the movement's so good. I think we could have done with the extra body in there. We'd have stayed four at the back and put Eden in midfield, which I think he switched to in the second half. We'd have done a lot better. But yeah, that first half was quite poor. We could get hold of ball and we were making sloppy passes, and yeah, it just kind of killed the atmosphere. And every time we give the ball away and they kept possession, their atmosphere was getting better and better. And
I think the only kind of real. In a spell, really, it was like a mini spell. Was that kind of like first 5-10 minutes at the start of the second half where we were starting to get forward a bit more, but we just didn't create enough from that. Like, you know, like we've already said, the only chance that came from that was that long range Travis effort, weren't it? So, yeah, just not good enough, really.
No, it was a. But I mean, it is frustrating, but at the same time, you can see like promising things that Ashley Phillips is. Got another 70 minutes, and he although we conceded three goals, he still had a quite a tidy game. And Daniel Ayala's playing well, still fit. Britain played quite well, but again, just it's all about forgetting what's happened now and moving on to this
Absolutely,
week.
Yeah.
Like, we've got a big game in the cup tomorrow night. Hopefully, if he could make the same amount of changes as Hartlepool and get a result. So obviously it gives the
you'd be buzzing with that, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Just to get the kind of the good feel back, you know. And
it gives the league players a rest, and again, it's getting us back on form and ready for.
And obviously, if we do win tomorrow night, you'd be looking to build on that with some signings, wouldn't you? I mean, JDT sounds so frustrated at the minute. Like every time he's being asked about it, he's like, "Ask Greg. Like, I want him.
Greg's not speaking to us. Like, where is he?"
We need some signs, don't we?
Yeah, I think we've had the disappointing news as well today that Diaz has said that he won't be renewing his contract. Which isn't surprising. I mean, like money wise nowadays, even if we offered him a new contract, it's going to be nowhere near what he would get if he was signing for someone else. And he's got the bonus of signing on top of that as well. So I can't see him staying. I'd like him to stay. I'd like him to have like a release clause, so if people paid what we value him at, he can go. But I just can't see. I think he'll go this window. But the problem is for me is we need to let if he is going to go this window, he needs to go now so we can reinvest
the money
before the deadline day. I don't want us like deadline day 5 o'clock. We accept a bid for him and then we don't have time to get.
I've seen a few people mention as well on Twitter this morning saying we don't want another Rothwell situation starting up, which is it's spot on really, isn't it? We don't want him to kind of like tools down.
I've seen people say
because he wants to go.
Like obviously the news came out today that he wasn't looking to renew his contract, which is just speculation. He's not actually come out and said that himself. It's just something on Twitter. people saying, oh, it looks like he's give up anyway. Look, it doesn't look like that at all.
That's ridiculous.
It was our most attacking threat on Wednesday and probably our best, like, on the ball, probably our best player on Saturday. So it doesn't look like he's give up. It's not like he's jumping out of challenges to avoid getting injury. It's not like he's, like, not touching balls.
I mean, it doesn't make sense, like looking at it from his point of view. You know, there's always speculation, you know, like Everton and Nice and all this. Like, why would you give up? Surely you'd be wanting to put yourself
impress them in
the shop window, you know, and put everything in you have, you know.
Yeah. But yeah, again, it doesn't make sense, the news that's come out today, because if you were looking to push a move, then, like, saying that you're not going to sign a contract, you're going out of the contract this summer, well, teams are surely just going to wait till the summer and sign in a free rather than get you now. So, it's just a bit weird what's happened today, but we'll see what happens the next week. 9 days, is it, till the deadline runs over? But,
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, signings are definitely needed, and Thomason's getting frustrated, you can tell, in his post-match interviews. And
I think there was an article in the Telegraph today, something like, it's not time to panic, but the alarm bells are ringing. Time to panic, that sounds to me.
Usually when alarm bells go off, I do actually start to panic. I mean, we spoke last week, didn't we, about, like, not knowing who's available and stuff, but I'm sure he's got targets in now. He's seen the squad, he's seen where we're thin, he's seen the positions that need improving on and how he wants to play. So surely he must have some idea of where he wants to improve and the targets that we're most likely to sign. And if Greg's doing the work that is that Thomason's saying that he's doing, then surely we should be on the verge of getting some names in the door.
I'm sure that by now he will have his targets, but it's just a case of whether, you know, you've got to consider the budget as well, whether we can get them targets in and whether we can get them in before the window shuts, because time's running out now, isn't it? Yeah.
But he said that, like, there's money available and there's a budget there for signings, but I think, like, we probably need like 5 or 6 players, but we need to make them now, and we need to make them, like, in a positive way, because, and I think, like, people are worried about financial fair play and us not having the revenue and stuff, but if you go out and make 6 positive signings, it's going to improve the team, the tendencies go up, and it pays for itself in a way. But I think leaving it till deadline day and maybe getting a couple of free transfers and a couple of loans after that, I think that's what makes fans worry a bit, that, like, we're not investing at the right time in the right players, and that's when your attendances stagnate or drop. So it's whether you risk it or not. I mean, we've seen plenty of clubs risk spending. I mean, look at Middlesbrough, like, even this season they've seen to spend loads, and if they don't go up this year, I think, again, they'll be struggling. And Sheffield United's wage bill must be massive compared to
ours. I mean, when you think about the loan signings they've made, especially, they've just come down, haven't they, as well. So,
So
guarantee a lot of them players will still be on, like, kind of Premier League. Premier League money. So,
Even you play like Sandy Berg and Ryan Brewster and stuff, they'll be on massive money compared to any Rovers players. We just can't. I don't expect us to compete with them sort of teams, but I do want us to make some signings that would improve our squad, and I want us to make them preferably before deadline day, because, like, even though it is early in the season, the Stoke game's turning into, like, a massive game for us, because they have not started the best. I think, like, and we always have to target our home games as the games that we pick up points. So I think, like, that's it. Suddenly we start, if you lose a Stoke game and if we get knocked out of the cup tomorrow night, that's when the panic really does set in, because then you have to start making panic buys and start making stupid signings, because you're desperate for something good to happen. Moving on to tomorrow night, you're going, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm going. Hopefully we will get through, because, I mean, you know, going over to Yorkshire twice in, is it 4 days, to get beat twice would be a bitter pill to swallow. Hopefully we get through. Like I was saying to mates last night, I've never seen a live penalty shootout, so maybe
you don't want
who
that,
knows,
might miss last train.
That's something to think about.
Do you think he'll go with a young team, or do you think he'll go first team and a couple of young lads in?
I think it'll be a similar team to last round. I think just out of necessity, in a way, just because of like how tired like a lot of them lads that obviously played West Brom and then, you know, Reddit. Because like, people don't realise, like, people think, oh, Sunday, Wednesday, it's like the same Saturday, Tuesday. Like, the gap between West Brom and Reading weren't really, because you obviously got to travel as well.
And they play the Saturday. I said that a little unfair. The team that plays on a Sunday should have a home game midweek, so they don't have to do the travelling.
And then, you know, after Reading, obviously, a tough one to take, kind of like psychologically and mentally, straight in Sheffield United. And then, we're back in cup action, so I think you will have to make some changes out of necessity. Hopefully we'll see Vale again. He had a tough night at Reading though, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Hopefully he can bounce back from that. Mark can do another one. Adam Wharton, might see him included.
Yeah. Well, I think Wharton and Morton will be the centre midfield, won't it? And then probably looking like Dolan getting in the team, Dak starting again. We should have enough quality to get through. It's just about, again, managing their minutes and managing the fitness of the players to make sure that we're ready for Saturday as well. But it's going to be important. The cup games are going to be important this year just to get a bit of momentum going, really.
Because
the draw will be Monday night, will it? The draw? Monday night.
Wednesday night.
I don't know where I've got Monday from. The draw will be on Wednesday night, so if you get a big name at home, or even like an easy tie at home, get us into the next round, starts getting the fans excited as well. But if you can get your key players out there scoring, like getting the goal for Dak, get Vailey's first goal, it'd be massively important. But then Stoke at home on Saturday. You're not going out, you're going
to
cricket.
I'm missing that one. Yeah, going to the test match at Old Trafford. So,
sat by myself then. it's a massive. I mean, Stoke haven't started the season too well, have they? They've knocked out the cup by Morecambe on penalties. And then beat away at Huddersfield, that we spoke about last week, because I watched it. Huddersfield, my favourite team at the minute. Love watching them. Drew at home to Middlesbrough and then got beat at home against Sunderland at the weekend. I've got a couple of friends who are Stoke fans, and they've spoke about their start of the season. They're not happy. I think they spoke about Michael O'Neill's stubbornness, like refusing to change tactics and style of play. And I think at Northern Ireland he didn't have the most talented pool of players to pick from, so we had to be defensive and grind out results and stuff. I don't think Stoke fans are happy with that, because some of the lads that have come through, like Tyrese Campbell and stuff, and Brown up front, the good players are technically good players, so I don't think they suit the keep it tight and try and hit them on the break tactics. I think they want to be like a more expansive football inside.
I think every fan base, particularly in this like modern age of football, you know, if you ask most fans, they'll say they want to see that attacking possession football that's good to watch. And that's like, you know, during the Mowbray tenure, that's what we complain so much about it. You know that we're paying, you know, so much money to like follow Rovers up and down the country, and we played shocking football, didn't we?
It's just the boring, the centre back, side to side, back to keeper, back to centre back. People want to see like positive ball going forward. And people don't even mind if it's direct. At least like you're doing something with every possession you've got. The most frustrating thing is if you're just passing it, it's like pointless passing it for, like, get the possession stats up. People get frustrated when you do that and you give the ball away and make mistakes and concede, because it's not like you tried something risky and give the ball away. You just, it's boring and you give the ball away, so it's even more frustrating. But yeah, Stoke seem to be like a bit of a bogey team for us. Like the last five games we've played, and we've only won once, and that was the away one at their place when Reddy Kadra scored the individual goal.
Yeah, last season, yeah.
He got some stick on Saturday, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Deserved it, but...
I think you have to expect it when you say what he said. Yeah. You know, in that first interview after he signed for Sheffield United, I don't care if you're, you know, I've said it since Saturday, I don't care if you're a lone player at Rovers or not, you just don't say them kind of things, do you? It's just not really.
No.
It's not really.
And we'll come up against, right, like Ivanek, of course, Sunderland will be playing this season. I don't think he'll get anywhere near the same reception. We'll get clapped off the Rovers fans, but yeah, again, it's just the things he said, and he had a bit of a stinker as well. He probably should have scored in the second half, and then was took off for Ndai, who ended up bagging two. So yeah, that'll probably be him back out of the team for the rest of the year, so after Christmas. Beat us 1-0 at Ewood last year, and drew 1-1 with Ewood the year before. Beat 1-0 away, and drew 0-0 at home. So they just, even in the Prem, we always seem to struggle against them. I think
we went once and got beat 3-0, didn't we?
Yeah. We played them, I think it was like four times on the trot, we didn't score. And then the only one we went to, I think Rashina scored the worldie, and the season got relegated.
Right, yeah.
And I just remember, I think we were live on Sky.
Yellow away shirt.
Yeah. We got beat 3-1 still, but at least it was a goal. But yeah, we never seen. I think Allardyce's, was it one of Allardyce's first games, beating 3-0? Like McCarthy and Roberts scoring at Ewood.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
That's like the only time I remember us getting a really good result against them. And then we had the one in the Championship, we were 3-0 up.
We almost bottled it, didn't we?
Yeah. We were famous that season for doing that. But yeah, hopefully things will change on Saturday.
No good for the heart rate.
No, definitely not. I thought like 3-0, like, oh my god, we're class, and then 3-2 and they get the penalty and you're like, oh my god, we're rubbish again. But yeah, hopefully on Saturday that'll change, and again get another positive result and get back in the swing of things. And the Blackpool game away from home at the end of the month, I mean, they've been doing alright, Blackpool, really, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. Yeah, I think a lot of people thought with like how well they did last season, maybe they'd have a bit of a second season syndrome kind of thing, and they'd be, you know, down there at the bottom of the league, but no, they've had a decent start.
Good result from on Saturday as well.
Yeah.
3-1 down against them lot, and then coming back to win 3-3 late on. Have you seen some videos on Twitter?
Yeah, oh, there's been some belters, haven't there? I mean, that kid, the little Blackpool fan.
I've not seen that one, but it was like a Burnley fan on the top row recording it, and he actually captures the Blackpool goal on his phone, and it just turns to the right.
He's looking at him, he's like, here we go, Blackpool youth, look at him, look at him.
And turns to the right.
The goal's going in, and they're like, yes.
Oh, it's such a good feeling that when you're right next to the Burnley fan. I don't think we'll be that close when we play Burnley.
No, they won't be, we definitely won't be that close. It'll be a much bigger gap, I think.
There's been rumours that they're not doing the bubble operation this year, though.
I think it's nonsense, mate. I just can't see it.
It's going to be a Sunday game. It's going to be a 12 o'clock kickoff on a Sunday, isn't it?
Probably, yeah. So, regardless of the fact that Saturday is meant to be like the last day before the World Cup, I think they might make an exception for. Who knows? Maybe Rose Billing will be the last game. Yeah. You know. Before
change it to Friday night on Sky.
I mean, the only reason I could think of for them getting rid of the bubble travel would be if, like, you know, because there hasn't been one for a while, they might like, maybe not as bad as it was, but rubbish. Yeah. Absolutely rubbish.
But it's like it's not just the it's like the size. It's like the distance from the train station to town, the town to the ground. It's like there's a lot of places where trouble could happen. Like, you got the train station, obviously, where it, but like on games, like on days like that, it's not just the people that are going to the game that go out. It's the rest of the dickheads.
Yeah.
So like they're going to be out there in full force, and they're going to be at the train station just waiting for any granny that gets up in a replica shirt. And you got like the Wetherspoons in the town centre, and every pub along the way on the way to their ground. So
I just can't see I don't know how you would police it.
No, you couldn't. And then they're saying like the cost of the bubble operation is too much. Well, you're going to spend that in recruiting police officers or damages after, because if you let people run wild, there will be like pubs smashed up,
and town's going to get smashed up, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's just
if they allow people to make their own way, I think. So,
but it's just like the general public, they get caught up in it as well. Like, if people are driving to the ground and stuff, like the cars will get smashed in, they'll get attacked. It's, yeah, hopefully it's just a rumour and they do the bubble operation, because...
Yeah. I think it might actually put some people off going if they do get rid of it. Because, you know, people... I think a lot of people say that it's an inconvenience. I don't really agree. Like, because people don't want to go on the official travel. And people would rather go up before getting out, but I don't think so.
It would be better if, like, one of the pubs near the ground could open up beforehand, and people could go there, and you left the pub, you went straight on the bus, rather than, like, just meeting at Ewood and, like, loitering about waiting to get on the bus. Just so, like, people could make it more of a day out experience, because, like, the last couple of times we've played him, it has just been, like, get on the bus, watch the game, and go home, really.
Shepped into the away end and that.
But yeah, imagine, like, if you've got, like, the cricket club open for Rovers fans and stuff, and just any of the pubs around the ground open for Rovers fans, it just doesn't make sense at all. I think I'm sure they'll change their minds as we get closer to it. So obviously we're out all day Saturday, so we didn't really see any of the Championship results apart from the Burnley result. Wigan winning 1-0 away at Birmingham, though, were a surprise result.
Yeah, because Birmingham had a good start, haven't they?
Yeah.
And Wigan have Wigan have struggled good. And another result that stuck out for me was Preston drawing 0-0 again. That's their fourth 0-0 of the season.
I've got like a record amount of season ticket orders this season. I've had 4 0-0s already. And then the other game was 1-0. Really getting the value for money there. QPR Rotherham 1-1, bit of a nothing game really. Reading beating Middlesbrough again, just following on that poor start.
West Brom smashing Hull 5-2,
because Hull have had a decent start as well. I think Hull were a point before us before kick-off, so
I think with West Brom though, it's kind of like you watched them against Watford and how dominant they were, and how many chances they had. It was like,
yeah,
they put these away.
Because we said, I mean, even against us, Grant had the opportunity to equalise. I think we said, if you have a decent striker, like a 25 goal striker, they'll definitely be up there challenging. And then Norwich on the Friday night game, is that their first win of the season?
It were, yeah.
Did you watch it?
No, I was working.
It was right background at pub, but I didn't really take much notice. And then Super Sunday. I was rough yesterday. I was very, very rough. Like just falling out of sleep. There were a Championship game where Bristol City 2 Cardiff 0 at dinner time. I say I watched that, my eyes were shut for half of it, so I don't
know.
Didn't
wrong.
No. I just saw the green pitch, I knew someone were playing.
I watched the two Super Sunday games, so the two brilliant games I thought, particularly the Newcastle Man City game. I was saying to my mates, I think eventually with like all the investment in Newcastle, that's going to become like the fixture. Do you know what I mean? Like, the
way Newcastle versus City.
Yeah, I honestly do. Like the way we look forward to like Man City Liverpool at the minute, that's going to be the equivalent of that.
I think that's a few years off. Yeah.
That's what I was saying. Like, but eventually, I think that's that's feasible.
Leeds play well, and they're doing well under this new manager, and I said he would do well because he's had the summer to recruit the players he wants, and he's got like a system and all the players have fitted in well in that system. That Brendan Aaronson's class, just so quick, and like his agility to that, like stop sprinting and start sprinting again straight away. Must have some really good cleats on, bro.
Massive mistake from Mendy.
What is he doing? Just get rid of the ball. I like keepers playing out from the back, but I mean, it didn't help because just before it, Thiago Silva and Reece James were going for each other, like proper screaming at each other's faces. And I think they were more distracted by that because Reece James didn't like drop off and create an angle for him to pass it out wide, so he didn't really have an option.
It was like you were watching it though, it was like, he's got to get rid of it.
But even his turn,
there's less and less space each second that goes by. He's got to get rid of it.
Even his turn, it wasn't like a Cruyff turn, like or like kicking it past him to try. He just
there was no confidence. I think he'd even like, you know, resigned to the fact that he was going to lose the ball.
Yeah, I think his brain just froze and
yeah, it's gone. This had it. It's a goal. Yeah.
But that Rodrigo looks good for Leeds.
Yeah, I like him.
He's getting me a fantasy team.
See, the fantasy team, that's like every year I started with like the intention of like, you know, yeah, keeping up with it.
And I'm not kept up with it. Just all the lads messaging me saying, "Oh, you want a class week this week?" And I had a look.
Have I?
I've got Tony, Haaland, and Jesus up front, so they all had good weeks.
See, I meant to put Jesus in, but
I had Odegaard as vice captain, so and he scored two, didn't he? Might have got an assist. Oh no, because his goal were disallowed. VAR has been shocking.
Arsenal and Torres?
Yeah. I'd love to see it as well. I would love to go like, I'd love to get to like May time and Arsenal, City and Liverpool can win it.
Yeah. Because we've never, like last few years it's always been like City and Liverpool really, haven't
it? But they've always been miles away from everyone else. I'd love
to see it. Yeah, it's been like a massive gap, aren't there?
If you could throw Tottenham in there and it'd be like fat.
Like a four way title race. We've never really seen that, have we?
I'd love that. Because like they're all, well, Arsenal obviously won all their games, but like Liverpool dropping points and like City dropping points at the weekend, you can just see it like coming down to one or two points towards the end of the season. Just I just hope there's more teams involved and it's a bit more exciting. But even if you just like go for one of the cups, because again it's been like City Liverpool just farming them for like the last couple of years, hasn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, the Arsenal are playing well. The good to watch, that Saliba's class. Jesus is class. Odegaard. Even Xhaka's playing well.
Yeah.
Which everyone thought the signings he made that he wouldn't get in team. Have you watched All or Nothing?
I've watched the first four. I've still got to watch the last two. Like very interesting, like in terms of watching Arteta like tactically, and like just the way he speaks, I think it's very interesting.
I couldn't take him seriously. The way his voice breaks, football wise, he's class. He obviously understands the game, but it's when he's shouting and his voice breaks. Like there's one in the final episode, or I think it's Thomas Partey, or it might be Nuno Tavares. He like goes up to his face, and goes, "You want to play Champions League?" And like his voice just goes, and he keeps a straight face. And I just think like if he was screaming at my face, his voice broke, I couldn't help but laugh. So
I think it's like it doesn't help because of his build. Like it's not really a big man. Like you know, picture manager like you know, like Alex Ferguson or like even
Neil
Klopp. Or,
Neil Work.
he's not a big man, is he? Like, didn't really help.
Some of his coaches are good, like some mentality coaches have got, and it's a really good insight. The only thing that disappoints me, like all these football documentaries, the teams always do better the season after. So like the Leeds one, Take Me Home, obviously it was fun watching them not go up, that documentary, but
dramatic ending as well, I suppose.
If they'd have followed them the season after when they got promoted, it would have been a brilliant season.
I think they did do a few episodes, but it weren't like a proper series. I think like the only like kind of thought about doing it after, like because obviously the pandemic hit, didn't it, and the season was paused. I think like Amazon kind of thought, well, they pretty much nailed on to go up and win the league, so we might do like you know a couple of episodes, and that's what they end up doing. But it would have been good if they did like a full like series on that season.
Yeah, because even the Tottenham one, like the, I know it was Mourinho's season, weren't it, when they did All or Nothing.
Yeah,
but like the season after they had Nuno in. And then they swapped halfway through for Conte. So that would have been good on All or Nothing. And but Arsenal seems to be playing really well. It'd be good to see like the summer signs, the summer recruitment being done on All or Nothing, and then like Arteta's way of playing this season. But who else has been on like, documentaries and stuff? Are they doing anyone this year?
I'm not sure. Well, obviously the first like football one was the City one, weren't it?
Yeah, that was a good one. They got 100 points that season, didn't they?
Yeah,
but it is good. And
I still think that was City's best season, mate. I just think there was something different about it. Like maybe because it was like the first time they won the league with Guardiola, weren't it? 1780.
Was it?
Yeah, I think it were. Because he took over in 2016, and 16-17 had a bit of a shock. They finished fourth.
Yeah. Bit of a shocker, forfeit prem.
Yeah. that is a shock for City.
Yeah.
So 17-18 was like the first time they won it under Guardiola, and I think like it just kind of blew everyone away, didn't it?
Yeah, I think like football wise that was the best, but I think if they'd have done like the Liverpool one where they won it on a couple of points,
yeah,
it would have been like a
in terms of like the mentality of like, yeah, the, well, Klopp has a phrase like mentality monster and all,
yeah,
fight till the end and all that.
Yeah. But yeah, they are a good documentary, I love them. But I'd love to just get that insight into every club. Like, you just watch them all day. I think someone mentioned like you'd love to see it at Man United, but they won't let them in. They won't,
no.
It'd be good to watch.
It's too embarrassing.
But I don't think they'd let them record absolutely everything. But like, because like you said, it would be too embarrassing. And like today, well, I don't think they've announced it yet. But Casemiro's been spotted going into World Chat. 70
yeah.
million for a 30-year-old Casemiro.
I had no idea. I had no idea they were spending that much money on
it. I thought it was a free transfer.
Yeah,
I thought it was
yeah.
a free transfer.
I mean, free transfer, and if not, maybe like max 20 mil. Like,
gonna sell a lot of shirts, though. Gonna sell a lot of shirts. Like, I was speaking to a United fan at weekend. Obviously, I was steaming on Saturday, so I'm probably talking a lot of shit. But I said, like, and he was saying, oh yeah, Casemiro makes miles better. I said, he's not the player you need. He's going to sell a lot of shirts,
yeah,
but he's not going to improve you.
Yes, he's new, isn't he?
Yeah, but like, and I was saying, like, Michael Carrick, Darren Fletcher, like the Park Ji Sung, no one ever bought shirts with their names on the back because they weren't glamorous footballers, but every key game for United, they were the first name on the team sheet. Like, they're the players that you need. And like,
it's unsung heroes, isn't it?
Yeah, even if you go back to like 1990, like Dennis Irwin and Teddy Sheringham and stuff, they're not glamorous names, and they weren't like
Gary Neville.
Gary Neville, Philip Neville,
yeah,
like, just
yeah.
played key parts in them seasons, and they're not like, no one's walking around with a Gary Neville shirt number two on back. Like, everyone was walking around with Beckham shirt.
That's the thing in this day and age, though, with like social media and like the foreign fans, like, you know, if you're not like Pogba, you don't do like a silly dance when you score, like, you know, you score a goal against like the bottom of the table fodder, and like,
yeah, score a worldie when you're 4-0 up against.
If you haven't got like 100 million followers on Instagram, then you
can't sign you.
Yeah, boring.
Like, they should have gone out and signed even Tony. I still think he should have gone to United. So, like, even Dean Henderson is still playing well at Forest, and it's just ridiculous decisions. I saw like someone tweeted or put on Facebook the other day about PSG won 7-1, Bayern Munich won 7-0 at the weekend.
Yeah,
and they were talking about Leeds have beat Chelsea and City have drawn with Newcastle. It shows the Prem is the best league in the world or whatever. But like, it's going to be the best league in the world because you've got United spending 70 million on a player where none of them teams could afford to spend 70 million, never mind on a player that's 30-year-old, probably
yeah.
got 3 or 4 years left in him. It's not like an investment for the future. Whereas, like, even Nottingham Forest, 160 million was spent on 16 new players.
Yeah,
you would not see a second division Germany team
no.
get promoted and spend 160 million euros.
No, it should be the best league in the world because
yeah.
there is that much money.
Yeah.
There is probably only like one or maybe two clubs like in each, you know, in every other country in the like, top five
European leagues.
Yeah,
yeah.
They could spend 70 million on a player like Casemiro, but you know, in the Prem, probably like the top six.
Yeah,
maybe the top six. But yeah, you've got City, obviously. Well, United are doing it.
Yeah,
Liverpool,
Newcastle
could do it.
Yeah.
Now they've got these owners, so. It should be, really.
Yeah.
It should be the most competitive league.
Yeah, but it is the most... They say it's the best league in the world, but any player that's decent in the other leagues, they just go and sign him for under a million. So how can them leagues get any better when any bit of talent they produced, the Premier League goes, oh, we love him.
Yeah.
Fulham will sign him for 50 million. Like, it's frustrating because... It is the best league in the world, but it's because it's so overproduced and over-advertised and really
yeah,
it's just...
I don't think you can't really have too much of a go at it though, because it is like brilliant to watch. You've just
yeah.
got to kind of enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know, and watching that Newcastle Man City game yesterday and watching them two teams go at it, it was brilliant, I thought.
Yeah.
Trippy's free kick was class, weren't it?
Yeah, it was a good goal. Maxwell was class.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see. I want to see every team like actually tech them on and try and have a go at them rather than.
I think that's the way it's going to be now at Newcastle. Yeah. That's where the culture is going to be. You know, I thought the atmosphere, the togetherness. You know, the atmosphere is brilliant, and that's only going to get better as they as the team gets better. That's where it's going to be now.
Nick Pope was classic.
Nick Pope was brilliant. Yeah.
Is he England's number one going into the World Cup?
Still no. I still have Pickford. He's never let England down. In fact, the rest of the England team let him down in the shootout. You can't see, if you save two penalties in a shootout and you're losing.
Yeah.
You got it, aren't you?
But surely, I mean, we played football Sunday morning and there were five penalties and we missed four. I was fuming. I went to tech. Well, we had three and they had two. They missed both of theirs. And we scored one of our three. And every time I picked the ball, manager said, no, someone else is having it. And they missed. I was fuming. And even the one that went in weren't even the best one. It was like underneath the keeper. So I was raging. I was waiting for the next one. Do you think United can get a result tonight against Liverpool? Right?
It's going to be interesting. Obviously, it's like, you know, we're talking about the Premier League and this is arguably still its biggest fixture. Even though United fell away in recent seasons, but it's quite funny, like seeing all the memes at the minute, like how it's like a relegation battle because both teams have got off to such bad starts.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe, you know, they might be able to make something happen, but you just can't see it, can you?
No.
You know, maybe if the atmosphere gets, but
well, they were talking about like the protests, like Old Trafford and stuff, and then. Right. Well, they just signed Casemiro today, so probably like 50,000 there with Casemiro shirts on. So, it's just not going to be a protest at all. They're going to be just singing his name at crowd all night. Five mil down.
It's like, you know, you see like the hashtag on Twitter, empty Old Trafford, and like say all the protests that are planned. But, you know, if they say, oh, we're going to reveal Casemiro for kickoff, then, like, you know, how many tourists are going to be there buzzing for that? You know, you're not going to get Old Trafford empty against, but not even against Liverpool, against anyone.
Against any team.
No, there's that many
tourists on voucher, won't they? That people are buying.
Yeah.
And just be there with cardboard shirts asking for the shirt all game. But yeah, I'll watch that. Well, I'll watch it tonight. Yeah, I'll probably watch it tonight. Why not? She'll probably go to bed early. So yeah, I'll watch that tonight. This morning we've got two tickets released for Rovers, the Watford at home game, midweek game. £20 for adults, £10 for the concessions, and I think it's like £5 for kids, which we said about Thomason, kept mentioning it, didn't he, in his interviews, that fans pay a lot of money for tickets, whether it'd have an influence on reducing the ticket price, isn't it?
I think they made it like that for all the midweek home games, don't they? It's £20 for adults, so yeah, that's, you know, it's more like in, you know, the 20 is plenty, I think, for the Championship. Then we've got, you know, the other game that's been released this morning, and that's Wigan, £29.
£29 for Wigan. It's a shed. It's an absolute shed.
We always get beat there.
Yeah.
It's not really the best of it. I know we take quite a lot there usually, but
it's like not 15 minutes.
Yeah, it's not the best.
They just take advantage of, like, they expect a big following, so just hike the prices up. It does make them. Like, whereas if they like put it down to £20. I mean, we'll probably take 3,000 or 4,000, won't we? But if there were £20, we'd sell out that ground straight away. And
yeah,
it's just annoying. Like, why can't everyone else can see it? Why can't they? Especially like when Premier League prices are capped at £30. Why would Wigan away? You were League One last year.
Yeah.
And they say like the away tickets have to match the most expensive seat. In the home end,
that's just stupid.
Like, we'll lose paying £29 to as a Wigan fan to watch them, because there's about like 3,000 in there, so surely they're not paying all that.
I mean, I'm still angered really by Sheffield United.
Yeah,
like, I hope when they come here, you know, we charge them something ridiculous, like they charge us. I would charge them more, to be honest.
Yeah, £33 was ridiculous, but I think like. Because if we went to charge them in return, we'd have to charge like Jack Walker seats £33. I don't want us to do that.
It was mainly because last season they had that £14 60, didn't we? Yeah. You know, it's just short, you know, short term.
It's so frustrating. Because obviously, how many did it take? Did we see like the official attendance? I think it was about 2,000, right?
A couple of thousand, right?
So yeah, they've made an absolute killing off us. But yeah, tickets price is another thing. Could probably make a full hour length podcast talking about. But we just don't seem to be getting anywhere at all.
No.
You seem to like make like small breakthroughs when they do like an offer, like a £15 max offer and stuff, and then like the Reading game, like £18, and everyone's talking about how good it is, and then the next game's £29, and you just think, oh well, that's not going very far, has it? Because it took quite a few to Reading, like 1,400 that went to like midweek.
I thought that was brilliant for you know, like say for a midweek game. And you often see like a lot of people fans of other Championship clubs knocking Rovers out away following. And I think like if you take like at least 1,000, like 1,500 everywhere, that's good.
We usually do it like 1,200 is usually like magic number in it. Like anywhere further south than Birmingham, it's usually like 1,200 to a lot of the London games and the southern games.
That's good, I think.
Yeah, any of the northern teams, we always take a good following. So Bradford tomorrow night. Let's move on to our starting 11. Still no quiz, still no guest, so that'll be a quiz. So starting 11 for this week is the 2-0 win over Bradford in March 2018.
I remember this game. I was actually talking about it last night.
Classic.
No, believe me, no research. It was Thursday night, weren't it?
Is it
Thursday night before Easter, I think. Dak scored, so you know, let's go for Dak.
Dak did score, you're right.
Conway got over, but it might not have started. No, right. So let's go from back. Raya.
Yeah.
Left back. Bell.
Yeah.
Mulgrew.
Nope. Must have been dropped for not being quick enough this game.
Paul Downing.
No.
But who else played centre half that season?
If you want the numbers, just let me know.
Wharton.
Nope.
Right back, Nambi.
Nope.
What the hell?
Good start.
I know, yeah. Who's in midfield?
There's like two defensive mids and two attacking mids.
Corey Evans.
Yep.
Smallwood.
Yep.
Here we go. Jack Payne.
No.
Is he attacking mid?
Jack Payne. Oh my god. Blast from the past.
So with Jack Payne. Samuel.
Dominic Samuel is there. Yeah, he's up front though.
Right, so there's two defensive mids and two attacking mids.
Yeah.
So what formation is it then?
It's like a 4-2-2-2.
Graham.
Nope. Just going off flash scores, by the way. I don't think we actually played that formation.
No, I was gonna say.
Smallwood was probably out right wing. Square pegs in round holes.
Some of the centre half. I'm stumped here, to be honest.
You've said Dak already, haven't you? Yeah. So he's one of the attacking Dak mids.
Who's the other one? Struggling here. How many letters is it?
Nine. And the other striker is nine as well.
He scored a lot of goals that season.
Yeah.
Did he?
Yeah.
Antonsson.
Yep.
See, I don't really remember. Like, I don't really remember him for like the second half of that season. To be honest, I feel
Northampton away, he didn't play.
Yeah, I feel like he scored a lot of goals towards the start. He kind of. I remember his first goal. He scored his first goal away at Scunthorpe. He scored his first goal away at Scunthorpe, and then he scored Rochdale, and obviously missed a penalty at Northampton, didn't you? They weren't really in the team that much.
Coventry's got no.
Yeah. Right, so that's front two, and I've got three at midfielders.
Yeah, so you've got like one behind the striker with nine letters, and you've got three of the back four still left to get.
Derry Williams.
Yep.
Right, okay, here we go. We're alright now. Lenihan,
yep. Two more to get. If anyone wants to come on for the quiz next week, please get in touch. I'm full of questions and I'm desperate for you to answer them.
Rob with proper emotional appeal.
Yeah, please get in touch. Just tweet and do anything.
How many letters are they?
So the right back is seven.
I don't know.
Don't want to tell you.
Go on.
Elliot Bennett.
Oh, should have got that.
And you got one more in Cam. Nine letters.
Tomlinson?
No.
Bolchella. Bit left field, though, isn't it? Can't really remember him playing much that season. He played at Doncaster, though, didn't he? Tomlinson.
We got promoted.
Yeah, I'm sure you're playing.
I can't remember that night.
No memory, apart from Mulgrew's had it.
Yeah.
I'm stuck.
You will?
Yeah.
You'll kick yourself.
What?
Yeah.
Nine letters.
Yeah. Definitely give up.
I can't think.
Adam Armstrong.
Why is he playing midfield? Mowbray. typical
of Mowbray, that. Absolute Tom Ballers out. That's just flash scores. It could have been anywhere, couldn't he?
Yeah,
probably played up front, in the middle. Samuel's played right, Antonsen's played left, but.
Yeah.
When it's like flash scores, get it wrong. I saw for the Hartlepool game, Dak started left back on flash scores. He definitely didn't. He touched the ball there once, but he didn't start there. Oh. That is all for the starting 11 quiz, and that is all for the podcast for this week. When will the next one be?
Probably be after Stoke.
Yeah.
So then
do you have a midweek? Oh, we have Blackpool Wednesday, don't
Blackpool,
we?
Yeah.
So we'll do it either Monday or Tuesday before the Blackpool game.
A big day out, don't forget to follow us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and on Twitter. It's at @KidderSTNoise.
Yeah. And if you could leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, we'd love that as well.
Very much appreciated. And get in touch. Come on.
Yeah. Ask us any questions. Come on and answer any questions. If you want to be a guest and just waffle a lot of chat about Rovers for an hour,
that's all we're doing. So
you're welcome to
fit
come
right
on.
Other than that,
have a good weekend. We will speak to you after the Bradford and Stoke games.
Yep. See you later.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.